comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this beautiful planet we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I'm here because you matter. I'm here because you have a right to know. Tonight I'm going to do something that is truly very rare. I think it is unique in the history of this show. And that is, I'm going to take to task tonight a statement that was made on the air here on this show last night. There was a statement made on the air last night that I think was completely inaccurate. I think it was totally in error. I don't suspect, I don't think that it was disinformation. In fact, I know it was not. But it was, I think, provably inaccurate, and I'm going to deal with that tonight. Any idea what that statement was or who made it? Well, tonight I'm going to analyze that statement on the air and expose the statement and the person that said it, and I'm going to lay out all the evidence that shows that it was an error and that it was a completely inaccurate statement. So you want to be sure you stay tuned and pay attention, because I am going to do that. Here at the Kevin Smith Show, we publish a free weekly newsletter. It's called the K-Files. If you're new to the show, you don't know about that. Go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down, and you'll see where it says K-Files. Just click on that and subscribe. All right? Coming up very, very soon, we have a free seminar that will be presented in the members' community. You have to be one of our members to be able to access it and to view it. It's a seminar, not a conference. We also have a conference coming up. This seminar is called Mars, the Fading Fog, free to members. So if you're not a member, fix that. Click where it says join and join. We have a conference coming up, too. It's called the Alternative Universe Eye Conference. This is the second one we've done. This is really, really different because you don't have to buy a plane ticket and go somewhere to get to the conference and pay huge ticket prices to get in and pay for a hotel and pay for meals. You don't have to do that. You don't have to go to the conference. The conference will come to you. Live streaming only, and it comes directly to you. So you get to enjoy it right there in the comfort of your own home, and you get to do so for the vast expense of $10. Now, by the time you buy conference tickets, pay for plane tickets and hotel and meals, a lot of times just to go to a conference can cost you $1,000. Well, you're going to get top speakers, and you're going to get them for $10. Go over to the website, kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down, you'll see where it says Alternative Universe Eye Conference. It's about 4 feet tall. Just get over there and click it and get your tickets. Okay, we'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Last night, we dealt with, at least for part of the show, we dealt with the reports of these mysterious boxes that have appeared on beaches, particularly in Oregon. And we talked about, you know, what the reports say. And really just sort of speculated about whether this was real or not. But in the course of that, in the course of discussing that, and really it was when somebody called in, a statement was made that is absolutely not true. It's not accurate. And I think it's important for us to clarify that. Now, I told you that I was going to expose both what was said and who said it. And you might think it's a little bit cruel. You might think it's a little bit hard-hearted for me to do that. But I think it needs to be done. And I think you are due accurate information. So the person that said it was Kevin Smith. Are you shocked? You should not be. I'm not God. I make mistakes. And I said it when Leslie Applegate called in from Oregon. At the time, it seemed reasonable and rational, but after I thought about it, after the show, I really thought about what I said and decided, no, that just can't be true. That isn't true based on evidence. Now, here's the statement that I said, and here's the context first in which I said it. Leslie called and said that she had she lives in Oregon, and she had been to the beach, to one of the locations where one of these boxes was supposed to have been found. And she didn't see anything, and she talked to some friends that she's got in that area, and they had not heard anything about it. And my statement was, this is the statement, well, you know, maybe the whole story is a lie. I mean, we don't know. That's not true. It seemed reasonable and rational at the time. But I told you yesterday that I had taken one decongestant pill because of all of the sinus problems I was having, and it just was getting worse instead of better as showtime was approaching. And so finally I broke down and I said, okay, I will take one. And I told you that when I take anything, I mean even an aspirin, it makes my mind not as sharp as I am accustomed to it being. And I'm not saying that that's an excuse, but I think it was a factor in me not catching myself before I made that statement. And that really is a pretty glaringly inaccurate statement. When I said, well, I don't know, you know, maybe the whole story about these boxes is a lie. Maybe it's all a hoax. When I made that statement, my mind was accepting it. But as time went on and, you know, we finished the show and I got into all the post-production work I do after the show and the night drug on and my mind was continuing to get clearer and clearer as we got further and further away from the time when I took the medicine, I began to realize that was pretty glaringly inaccurate based on the evidence. Now I'm going to show you the evidence, and then we have a guest who's going to come on and talk with us about this. But let me ask you a question. Is this report, these reports about the boxes showing up on the beaches in Oregon, is this a real thing? Is it a real mystery? Or is it much ado about nothing? There have been some investigators, some pretty big name investigators that have looked at this, and they have concluded it's much ado about nothing. There's nothing to it. Well, I don't know that I'm a big name investigator, but I am a trained professional investigator, and earn my living doing that sort of thing. And so I decided to take a look at it. And the evidence that I found tells a completely different story. The evidence that I found says it's a real mystery. It's a genuine thing that's happening, and it's a real mystery. Now, here's what we've got. I'm going to lay this evidence out and show you why what I said was totally inaccurate. The first report that anybody knows about, as far as I know, was written by a freelance journalist by the name of Dave Masco. And it was well written. He talked to Dr. Han Schumacher. I was saying Han Schumacher last night, but I didn't know how it was pronounced. I now know because I have heard him pronounce it. It's Han Schumacher. Dr. Han Schumacher is the director of the Hatfield Marine Research Center, which operates under the auspices of the Oregon State University. Dr. Bill Han Schumacher actually does exist, and he actually does hold the position that the journalist said he holds. So he asked him about these boxes, and Dr. Han Schumacher said, "I don't know what they are." And he said an alert has been issued, and they are being investigated. I don't know what they are. That was in the first article. As I said, Dr. Han Schumacher is the director of this Hatfield Marine Research Center, and it actually does exist. It actually is located at Yakina Bay in Newport, Oregon. And if you're watching our TV channel, you're seeing a picture of it. And that picture of it is from their site. So, I mean, this is real. And Dr. Han Schumacher says, "I don't know what they are. An alert has been issued, and they are being investigated." Now, this initial report had some pretty cool additional information in it. Witnesses that had seen these boxes, some of them said that they were emitting a humming sound. And this article went on to say that recently declassified, formerly classified, documents from the UK state that similar boxes were found and photographed back in the late 1990s in Sri Lanka and again in 2004. British intelligence photographed them. And then it goes on to talk about some speculations about, possible UFO links and so forth. But that's Article 1. Shortly after that article came out, and this is part of the evidence, shortly after that article came out, there was another article that came out, and this one was in the South Lincoln County News. And it says that there had been a stir on the internet about these boxes being found on beaches in Oregon, and they even name the journalist, Dave Masco, who wrote the initial article, and they say, "But not to worry, it's all been identified, and it what these are these boxes are really just pier floats. Now, last night I showed a picture and talked about the two pictures and talked about them, where the one on the left is a picture of a box on the beach, one of the boxes that the article is about. And next to it is a picture that appeared in the... and as a matter of fact, that picture is the one that appeared with Dave Masco's article. Okay, next to it, I am showing a picture that is a pier float, and it appears, this picture appears, with the article that was run by the South Lincoln County News. And they say it's just pier floats. Well, folks, here's why. When I said, well, maybe the story about these boxes is all a hoax. Maybe it's all a lie. We don't know. Here's why that's so inaccurate. Because simple analytics of this situation will show us that, number one, this article by Dave Masco came out, I think it was February the 6th or February the 8th, right along in there. And then a few days later, this article comes out in the South Lincoln County News talking about that article and saying the boxes that are being reported are pier floats. So this article in the South Lincoln County News confirms the reality that people were finding boxes out there on the beach. You see that? The South Lincoln County News confirms the reality of the phenomena. Okay, now they say it's pier floats. Now I was sharp enough last night to bring this up, and I apologize for not being sharper, but I did bring this up. The problem here is when they confirm that that's a real thing, no one can now say that Dave Masco's article was a hoax. Dave Masco's article was about a real, genuine phenomena that was taking place. You may disagree with some of the things that he says in his article, but you can't disagree with the reality of the phenomena. It's admitted by another newspaper. It's admitted by the South Lincoln County News. But here's the problem. The problem is, once that confirms the reality of the phenomena, we go back to the first article, and we have Dr. Hans Shoemaker saying, I don't know what they are. An alert has been issued, and they are being investigated. Now, why is that important? Well, that's important because he is Dr. Hans Shoemaker, head of the Hatfield Marine Research Center, under the auspices of Oregon State University, and he's been doing this for years. You mean to tell me that the head of the Marine Research Center doesn't know a pier float when he sees one? I don't buy it. I don't buy that. So the second newspaper story confirms the reality of the phenomena. And then we go back, now it's confirmed, okay, there's some credibility there. We go back to the first article, now part of it being confirmed, and we have the head of the Marine Research Center saying, I don't know what they are, an alert has been issued, and they are being investigated. Why would you issue an alert for a pier float? You see, there's more to this than meets the eye. Other investigators that have looked at this and said there's nothing to this, I think have missed some important evidence here. Why would an alert be issued? And why would you investigate pier floats? That makes no sense at all. But there is another huge, whopping, gigantic piece of evidence in the mystery. this other huge, gigantic, whopping piece of evidence is the immediate silence of the media. You haven't heard any more about it. It's all been hushed up. Lots of folks in the so-called UFO community and the alternative news community have bought hook, line, and sinker that there's nothing to this. But those two stories together scream that there is. Those two reports together scream that there is. Well, I wanted to know from Dr. Hanshoemaker exactly what was it that was found. So I called him today. I called Dr. Hanshoemaker's office today. I got voicemail. I identified myself. I told him the question that I have. And I wanted to know for clarification about these boxes. I explained that I do a talk show and I would be talking about this. And up till right now, I have not yet heard from Dr. Hanshoemaker. Didn't return my call. So there's some more silence. Perhaps there's a good reason for that. I don't know. But once we have nailed down the phenomena is real, and we have in the first report that has now been confirmed to be reporting a real phenomena, we have Dr. Hanshoemaker saying, I don't know what they are. An alert has been issued and they are being investigated. Once we have that, we've got a mystery. I do not buy. That's having Dr. Hanshoemaker say that he doesn't know what they are. He can't identify a peer float, but the newspaper, the South Lincoln County News, they can identify a peer float, and the head of the Marine Research Center can't. I don't buy it. That's nonsense. Dr. Hanshoemaker told the truth, and the first article was accurate. The second article accidentally confirmed it. I apologize for making such a stupid statement last night. It was totally inaccurate. It was totally, absolutely in error. But I hope we've cleared that up, and I hope you understand now why it's a real mystery. And the press, the media, silent. We'll be back right after this.
United Kingdom, and you are listening to the fantastic Kevin Smith Show.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I told you we would have a guest joining us. A mystery guest, tried to make this a mystery guest, but someone on my Facebook wall burst the bubble and announced it to the world. But that's okay. We weren't really trying to hide the fact that Gordon Giannotto is my guest this evening. Gordon has been my guest on a number of occasions and is always fascinating. Gordon says things that are controversial, and if they weren't controversial, why would you want to listen? Think about that. I mean, I guess there are folks who just want to hear what they already heard. There are folks who want to hear today what they heard yesterday, the day before, the day before, the day before, and years and years and years and years ago, and they don't want to hear anything different. But a thing is controversial only because it's something that makes us think about what we already heard. A thing is controversial only because it steps outside the boundaries of the establishment. So you hear a lot of controversial things on this show, and you're going to hear some tonight. But I was talking with Gordon Giannotto, actually a couple of weeks ago, I think, or last weekend sometime, some few days ago. And he was talking about these boxes. And so when I decided to dive into this, I wanted to get someone who had some information about these boxes. And I've tapped several people, and Gordon is one of those people. Gordon, welcome to the show.
Oh, welcome. Good night. I mean, good evening. I'm sorry.
Not a problem. You didn't take one of those decongestant pills I took yesterday, did you?
No, but I took some colloidal silver yesterday. I felt I was being attacked by the flu, and that set it right back to zero. I couldn't believe it.
Stuff outstanding. Okay, you heard what I said about these boxes, and you heard me explain why the statement I made last night was totally in error. So I want to start with, do you agree or disagree with me that that was an erroneous statement?
Yeah, I agree with you that it was erroneous, but I'm not going to hold you to some kind of standard. I mean, this is a subject where, if you know, you just said it yourself. If you look for more information on it, you're just not going to find it. The silence is deafening.
It is. It is deafening. Well, I hold myself to a standard that I didn't meet. I'm going to blame it on the medicine, but whoever, whatever it was, I don't know. But I'm usually sharper than that. But the point is, I did catch it. And tonight, I hope I've said it straight. The idea that somehow Dave Masco's initial report may just be all made up, that's absolutely an error. We can definitively say that's not the case.
And you know, major researchers have said that they looked into it, but their looking into it, quote unquote, was very superficial. And you know, I think by finding people who said that they didn't know what they were looking at, and that they had seen them and they didn't understand it, and then went back to see it and it wasn't there, those are the people we should be believing.
Okay, now these reports, though, this is something, Gordon, I don't understand. The reports that we did get from witnesses said that you couldn't move them.
Yeah, well, I can explain that. And that's why I told you last Sunday, I said, I want to come on your show and talk about these metal boxes. So I'm very, very pleased. And the listeners are going to be quite interested in what I have to say.
Well, let's get it said. Dive into this.
Okay, well, I want to start off first by paraphrasing Dr. John Mack. Now, for those of you who are in UFOlogy, you know exactly who he is. He was the head of Harvard Medical School, and he started out, he was first come into contact with people who said, you know, supposedly might have mental illness. There was an issue there. Do they have mental illness or not? And he discovered by talking to them that, on the contrary, they seemed to be you know, healthier than most people. And it blew his mind. And he ended up writing two books about what he learned from these people. And these people said they were in contact with extraterrestrials. So I was in touch this week with the woman with whom it's a couple. They live in London. He was staying with them when he was actually run down by a drunk driver while he was on a lecture tour about St. Lawrence of Arabia, which was his other favorite subject. So that was too bad. But I really want to start with this. It's not really a quote, but it's paraphrasing him. And he said, quote, "The most intelligent, sane, and happiest people in the world are the people who are in touch with extraterrestrials."
Okay.
So I say that because what I'm going to say has no proof. There isn't any big piece of metal I can bring into the studio and hand to you and say, this proves what I'm saying. But if you've listened to me before, if you have any understanding of the fact that there's so many UFO incidents and events with extraterrestrials, both not only photographed and videotaped, but personal stories from people in the millions around the world, then you see that this has a great likelihood of being true, and I'm here to say it is true. I've always had an ability to hear something and know whether it's true or not. It's just like I read it with my heart, and it's very hard for somebody to fool me or for me to hear something and not think, well, there's something funny with that. I'm going to have to think about it a while. And there's other things, the minute I hear them, I know they're true. And I'm going to just say what these boxes are right off the bat. These boxes are in the tens of thousands, and they have been placed on fault lines around the world to slow down, not stop, but slow down all the Earth changes caused by Planet X and about to be caused by Planet X. And the reason why that's being done, and I'll get into all the details of how I came to know this and who's saying what about this. The reason why that's being done is not because it's going to change the Earth changes that are coming about by Planet X, but they're slowing it down because the extraterrestrials had a meeting and they decided the number one priority is to break the cover up of Planet X. And in order to do that, they have placed these boxes which vibrate on fault lines around the world. And what they're doing is, instead of allowing the pressure to build up and the sudden rupture causing a very violent quake, they're allowing the pressure to be released gradually. And ultimately, if you were to look for the time between now and when pole shift, geographic pole shift occurs, there is no change in the ultimate date. So that means when the Earth changes begin again, they're going to be compressed within a short space of time. But the reason why they've been put off is because they want to break the cover up. And in order to do that, I'm going to discuss two people who are in telepathic contact with extraterrestrials and who have publicly said what these boxes are. And I think it's very interesting. And as you pointed out, the British government found them on the beach in Sri Lanka. There are other reports that they've been sighted on ocean bottoms and in other locations around the world. But they're very sophisticated extraterrestrial devices. They're not intended for anyone to find them or to see them. And the U.S. government took the boxes off the beaches in Oregon and brought them back to the laboratory and were hoping to open them up and see what was in them when they suddenly disappeared.
Wait a minute. They picked these boxes up, took them back to the lab, and then the boxes just disappeared in front of their eyes?
Yes, this is a very highly technological, advanced instruments, these things. And they were supposed to be screened and invisible, and just as if they weren't there, just sitting there but not visible. And there's a phrase for that, hidden in plain sight. And the day after these were discovered on Oregon, they had an earthquake off the coast of Oregon that was nearly a 5.0, and nothing happened in Oregon. So you could say that they're working. I mean, we really only know about this one box because it was photographed. And so anything about other boxes, it all comes from extraterrestrials. And there are two sources, and that is Nancy Leader, through whom the Zetas speak, and Alma Guthrie, who's a psychic in a trance channeler, ET trance channeler in San Diego. And I first learned about it when I got an email about these metal boxes. And then I was listening to a show out of Phoenix where Alma was a guest. And she went into her trance and she described these metal boxes as being extraterrestrial devices placed to alleviate the suddenness and the violence of earthquakes around the world, and that there were thousands of them, and that they weren't intended to be discovered, and that the government had a great interest in them and swooped down on them as soon as they found out where they were and took them back to laboratories to open them up, and they no sooner got them in the building and got them set up where they would take them apart when they just disappeared. And the extraterrestrials are not going to allow anyone to look into them, especially the U.S. government. So
okay, now, two questions. First of all, you said you were listening to a show that's in Phoenix. What show?
It's Robert Pepino's show, The Whole Agenda, and actually he's listening to your show right now.
Well, that's
and,
good.
I got his permission to mention him, and this was very interesting. He has her on his show once a month, and this woman just the minute I heard her go into this trance and start channeling, I knew that this was absolutely good, not only good information, but true. It's just like it sends chills up and down your spine to hear, and you just know that that's true. But then I've become friends with Nancy Leader, and I called her up on the phone, and while I was talking to her about this, the Zetas broke in through her body, through her mind, and in the same way that when Alma talks, she uses a different vocabulary, different intonation, different accents, different emphasis than Alma does. So, you know, you could explain this a lot of, you know, if you're a skeptic and you want to make fun of this, you go ahead, you know, because you're missing the whole point. But Nancy, on the phone with me, the Zetas broke through and said, this woman is entirely accurate, and these devices have been placed around the globe, thousands and thousands and thousands of them, because the focus is on breaking the cover up, and they've slowed down the earth changes to allow that, and that's the hope. So if any of you are listening and believe what I'm saying about earth changes and Planet X and pole shift, that's the focus right now, is to contact the major media, the same media that's quiet. And the funny thing about these boxes is even the UFO people didn't carry this topic. It's like, well, we don't know what to do with it, so we're not going to do with it anything with it. Mm-hmm. So Nancy at Zeta Talk had said she said this about a year ago. It was in response to a question asked to the public, by the public, and she put them to the Zetas, and then she types out the answer, and they go out in her newsletter, and they go out on the ZetaTalk.com website. And somebody had asked, are there any extraterrestrial devices on Earth at this time? And she said, no, there are absolutely none. All the extraterrestrial devices have been removed. So, because there's people who think that in between the Sphinx and the Great Pyramid, there's a Hall of Records.
All right, we have to step away for a break, and we will be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and I'm speaking this evening with Gordon Giannotto. Gordon, when we went away for break, you had made reference to people believing that there's a Hall of Records under the paw of the Sphinx, or between the paws or something, and I had
yes.
to cut you off. So pick up there and move forward.
Well, there are a lot of people who have wondered over time if there are any extraterrestrial devices left on Earth. Because you've seen the TV show Ancient Aliens on the History Channel, and if you've been interested in this at all, you've seen countless books and magazine stories and UFO and internet articles and all kinds of discussions about previous contact on Earth with Earth of extraterrestrials. And there always has to be the question, because you know just from driving your car somewhere, it could break down at any time. So why wouldn't there be a crash saucer on the Earth? You know, the question is, there one under Lake Vostok? Was there an extraterrestrial city there? And the Zetas were quite clear. There are no extraterrestrials, and this was a year ago. There are no extraterrestrial devices left anywhere on Earth. Now, several times it's come up that extraterrestrial skulls have been found, and skeletons. And the Zetas have said that, yes, there are. There are bones of extraterrestrials on the Earth, but there are no extraterrestrial devices. So when I was so shocked when I heard Robert Pepino's show, and and Alma Guthrie that I had to call Nancy Leader the next day and bring this up with her. And they felt it was so important that, because usually Nancy doesn't ever go into the state where the Zetas speak through her. So I really felt quite privileged to be on the phone with her when they did that, to say that, yes, these are extraterrestrial devices. And of course, that changes what they said, that there weren't any, so there are. So that raises a whole other issue, which is, as you know, there are many, many groups of people around the world that said, well, even if pole shift happens, the extraterrestrials are going to intervene, and we're all going to be taken to a new Earth that's going to be just like the old Earth, but without any selfish people, or we're going to go to motherships, or we're going to be rescued and put in dome cities, and, you know, all that's nice pie in the sky hopes that everyone has, well, we won't have to go through this disaster. But the thing is it's up to them, not us. And just the way, if you intervene in your neighbor's life, you know, you're taking on karma. Well, if extraterrestrials intervene in our life, and the events that are supposed to happen here, which I might add are natural events. Planet X comes back every 3,657 years. So if they intervene, that's karma for them. So no extraterrestrials just sit around going, well, we think we'll put boxes on the beaches in Oregon, or we think we're going to do this, or we think we're going to do that. Things like this are really big decisions that are made in council meetings with thousands and thousands of representatives, communicating on the soul level, understanding the karma of such actions. And the only way that can happen is through the people on Earth requesting it. So these are really, really big things. When something like that happens, that something that's about to happen naturally on the Earth is interfered with by extraterrestrials, this is a karmic event for them. They don't take it lightly. They're not just running around throwing some object here or some object there, thinking, well, we'll see how this works. No, this is something that's planned out extensively. And as I said, there are reports of these boxes around the world, and the reason why is they're all on fault lines, but there's tens of thousands of them, so you only see one, or maybe they've seen five. I don't know how many have been seen, but the thing is, they weren't supposed to have been seen. And if they have an error rate, like I remember, I worked in a factory in Norwalk, Connecticut, making fire alarms, the Edwards Electric Company, and I couldn't believe the shoddy workmanship. 30% of everything that went out of that factory was returned as defective. And this was back in the 60s, and Sony had just started coming out with electronics, and I was reading that Sony televisions and Sony recorders had a failure rate of like 1 in 10 million or 1 in 200 million. And I was thinking, my God. But
Well, look, you know, I've got some questions here before we get too far afield.
Yeah, let's get to them.
Okay. First of all, the reports said that people had tried to move them. They even put chains around them, trying to drag them with four-wheel drives, and could not get them to budge. So the first question is, how was it that the U.S. government was able to come in and pick them up and take them to a lab?
Well, as you can see from looking at the picture, it's 4 or 5 feet square, and I don't know, 16, 18 inches thick. So, you know, I've been a contractor for a large part of my life, and I've seen some pretty big equipment. I've seen some excavators and front loaders that will lift 40,000 pounds. So, you know, it's an object sitting on a beach. How heavy could it be? It can't be infinitely heavy. It must have some weight, and they must have come in one way. For all I know, they showed up with their secret anti-gravity devices and lifted it off the beach and flew it back to the lab.
Okay, good enough. Now, these are supposed to be mitigating earthquake activity, and yet, yesterday and today, there have been some big earthquakes around the world, including one in Japan near the Fukushima area, and it set off a tsunami warning.
Yes, exactly. So, there was a 6.8 in further up in Japan, off the coast of Japan, and a little bit south of that, there was a 6.1, and then today in Papua New Guinea, there was a 6.4. And so no, the earth is moving. This is not going to change the fact that we're about to have geographic pole shift. The Pacific is going to narrow, the Atlantic is going to widen, huge areas such as Florida and England are going to sink. This is not going to change all of that, but what it's doing is changing the time scale. And this gets back to what I mentioned on your show last July, which the selfish people, which there's two major groups. There's the military industrial complex, and frankly, they don't give a damn about you. You were expendable last July, and you're still expendable. You were expendable 10 years ago. The thing is that the bankers, they're the ones that finance everything. So the military industrial complex loves to blow stuff up, then get paid to rebuild it, then get paid to build more bombs and blow it up again, and then get paid to rebuild it again. So that's their little thing. So the bankers finance everything, and realizing that pole shift is going to occur, the military industrial complex has created bunkers, supplies. They're planning on instituting martial law and becoming kings of the earth. And the bankers are sitting around thinking, well, if all governments fail, if all religions fail, and all economies fail, where does that leave us?
Mm-hmm.
So everybody reads Zeta Talk, and I think all your listeners ought to take a look at it. ZetaTalk.com, 39,000 pages of questions asked by the public and answered by the unselfish extraterrestrial Zetas. So they're all reading this, and so the selfish military industrial complex, they've prepared with bunkers and supplies, and they're just planning to institute martial law, and they're hoping they can retake the whole earth and have it all under one emperor, I guess. I mean, there's different military groups. The English are trying to retake the Falkland Islands and use that as a base. Eastern Australia is got a lot of interest right now. NATO just invaded Libya to try and take that, so the royal families of France, Germany, and England have a place to go. So there's a lot going on geographically, and that just seems like little pieces of information that don't really fit together and they aren't linked, but Planet X links them all.
So okay,
the Rothschilds.
How does the presence of these boxes help to blow the cover up about Planet X?
Well, this is what I want to tell you, and this is from Nancy Leader, and the leader of the Rothschilds is not a Rothschilds. They've had lots of different marriages and family names, and this is a person who has no public persona. He's unknown to the public from A to Z. Nobody even has any idea which person is in charge of all the Rothschilds trusts. And they decided that the only way to survive is to create survival communities. So realizing that if groups would be aware now that there's going to be pole shift, then they would start a bartering economy, and they would form these communities, and they could survive Planet X. So the Rothschilds actually demanded to see Nancy Leader, and the Zetas actually flew her in her nightgown from Wisconsin to London to meet with the person she calls the puppet master. And he slammed his fist down on the desk and yelled at her, and he goes, "I've hired the most intelligent people in the world, and we've poured through all 39,000 pages of Zeta Talk, and we can't find anything that gives an exact date for pole shift, and we want to know what that date is."
All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll get the rest of that story when we come back. Don't go away, ladies and gentlemen. More with Gordon Giannotto right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and let me say to those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We are delighted that you are here, and we have Gordon Giannotto talking with us this evening, and we're talking about this mystery of these boxes that have been showing up on beaches in Oregon and then disappearing from the beaches in Oregon. Well, you know, there's just way too much for you to catch up now. So you need to catch it in the archives, or you need to watch this show as latest show so you can catch that first hour. And you do that in the members community. Let me say this for our affiliate stations. I have asked Gordon if it becomes necessary for us to go into after hours in order to get all this information in and still have time for people to call and ask him questions, if he would be willing to do that. And he, during the break, told me that, yes, he would be willing to do that. So we may. I don't know. As we get closer to the end of the show, we will know. But I want to let the affiliate stations know that. If you want to stay with us during after hours, you may do so. If you need to go on to other programming, certainly we understand that. So we were talking about, you were talking, Gordon, about the Zetas picked up Nancy Leader and flew her in the nighttime to meet with the Rothschilds' puppet master. And he slammed his fist on the desk. He said, we want to know the date when all this is going to happen, when the pole shift is going to happen. So pick up there, and let's move forward with this amazing story.
So she said, I've told you before, and the Zetas have told you before, that I'm not going to give you any private information. Every single person on this planet has got to learn at the same time that we're about to have pole shift. And until you give me a worldwide press conference where every media is there, and I can tell, and the Zetas can speak through me to the entire world, you will not get one bit more information than anyone else. And that just left him in absolute anger. But the thing is this represents a huge split between the two major selfish groups on the planet, the military-industrial complex, which includes all the creatures of war and their industrial capacity and their political leaders, and the banks. And the Rothschilds have already told Rupert Murdoch that in no uncertain terms that he is to start getting people prepared for survival communities. And Rupert Murdoch, you know, people hate Fox News. They just think, oh my God, and I can barely mention the words Fox News before people start spewing anger at me. And it's so unfair because, you know, all the media is twisted, and the last thing you're going to get is the true story of what's going on. But what he did was he spoke to Rupert Murdoch, and Rupert Murdoch instructed Fox to start carrying survival and survival preparation information. And Glenn Beck was the first one, and he's as much despised as any part of Fox News, was the first one to do it. And last Christmas, you know how Oprah has her show, and at Christmas she gives everybody in the audience a new car? Glenn Beck gave everyone in the audience everything they need for a week if they had to get up and run for their lives. He gave them a red backpack, and in it they had water filters, dried food. I mean, it was unbelievable. And he's saying something big is coming down the pike, and we've got to be prepared for it. And then Glenn left Fox News, and he started his own Glenn Beck TV. And so he's got programming on every night. And one of his biggest shows that he put on his program is how to prepare for the end times. And the last episode of it was on tonight, and I'm not a Glenn Beck TV subscriber, so I have no idea what was on it, except that I get his email, so I know that he's doing it. But if you listen to some of the other people on Fox News, you'll see discussions and advertising for purchasing and saving non-hybrid seeds, getting water filters, getting ready to go in a moment's notice. You know, and they've got things like gold, you know, turn in your cash and buy gold and silver because money won't be worth anything. But I will add to that, gold isn't going to be worth anything either. If you're not eating and if you have food and somebody comes to you and there's no food for anybody and they say, well, I'll offer you a piece of gold for your food, who's going to trade it? Gold is going to be as worthless as any other commodity. So the only hope for the Rothschilds is to start survival communities as soon as possible. And if you're not watching Fox News, you're not seeing this. And I'm not saying that you should watch all TV or any TV. Make your own decisions. But the thing is this could come as a big surprise, and you won't have time to sell your house, move to a safe location, figure something out. Zeta Talk has, on the website, lists of safe locations. And basically, you want to be far away from the coast, because you saw what a 33-foot tsunami did in Japan. Can you imagine a 600-foot tsunami? Well, that's what's going to happen. It's not going to come in as a big wave like some of these movies, like 2012 or Deep Impact. It's going to come in as a tidal surge. In other words, the tide's going to come in, and it's just going to keep on coming. It's going to be relentless until it goes up 600 feet. So, obviously, being one of the coastal cities around the world is not the place to be. But that gets into another issue, which is that, let's say you're convinced this is all true, and you want to do something about it, and you mention it to your spouse, and she thinks you're nuts. So this is going on all over the planet, and people are going to work and saying, you know, I've concluded this is really, something big is about to happen. And, you know, you can't bring that to work, because people are going to say, well, you've gone off the deep end. You just can't do this. So this is going on. These discussions are going on in groups among friends, families, spouses, all over the earth. But the governments have been listening to this, and they're already making these preparations, but they're secret. So you do have this filtering out slowly, but the Rothschilds, the rich people, expect and are used to being first online. And it angers them that they wouldn't be. Now, you've had my wife Janet on this show several times.
Yeah.
She's had two dreams recently that I can't even get out of the door of my house because there are so many media trucks in my yard, satellite dishes, cameramen, everything. And I've talked to Nancy, and Nancy said the only press conference she's going to attend is if all the media is there. She said, if just CNN calls, I'm sending them to you. So I'm hoping that I'll be the one, not because I'm important, because it's just that I'm prepared at the moment and I'm ready to speak out, that I would be one of the ones to break the cover-up. But the fact is, when these events happen, and Alma was just on the radio again with Robert Pepino this week, and she said that these events are going to be so shocking. Events in the sky and events on the earth, both, are going to be so shocking that it will be hard to deny this. And you've got to understand, I went out on the morning of February 5th. I bought some red cellophane at an iParty store, not to advertise their facilities, but that was the only place I could find a red filter. You know, I live in the country in Maine. Where am I going to get a red filter on short notice? So I bought a roll of red cellophane, and I went out and I pointed my digital camera at the sun, and I pushed the shutter halfway down, and I put a piece of cellophane in front of the lens. And the way I did that is I took an index card and I put a glass on it, and I traced a circle and cut it out, and then I cut a square of red cellophane and put it on the back of the card and taped it with Scotch tape. And I went out and took a picture and sent it to Nancy Leader. It turns out a guy in Italy did the same thing using an old 5-inch floppy disk that had a brownish color, and he used that as a filter. And that morning in Italy, he did the same thing, and he sent it to Nancy Leader, and we both got a huge glowing object beneath the sun at sunrise. And she asked the Zetas, and they said yes. Now, you've got to realize, who has the technology? Who has the ability to manufacture thousands of these boxes and place them on every fault line, whether it's 35,000 feet deep at the bottom of the ocean or on a mountaintop, on a beach in Oregon? Who has that technology? The Zetas said that the Earth was moved so that now, from now on, starting February 5th, every single person on Earth can go out and take a picture using a red filter and see this huge glowing area beneath the sun. So this is how this ties in, that the Earth has been actually moved in position so that everyone can see it. It's not separate from the sun, so you can't look at the sun with your eyes, and please don't, because you'll be blinded. But point your digital camera. All digital cameras have a quality where if you push the shutter halfway down, it locks the focus. So point it at the sun, push the shutter halfway down, lock the focus, then slip your cheesy little red filter in front of the lens, push the shutter the rest of the way and take the picture, and then look at it. And there is a glowing area beneath the sun every single day now. And how much longer can NASA make up excuses for this? They had a thing that, oh, the solar flares are going to do us in, we've got to watch out. And Drudge Report had a headline, Earth Survives. Well, what a riot, you know. Mm-hmm. The Zetas have said solar flares are never going to affect us. I mean, if they can move the Earth, or if they can put metal boxes on beaches, do you think they're going to let a solar flare take out the Earth? No. But Planet X comes through naturally every 3,657 years. The governments have known about this since before World War II, and they haven't said a word. This is a giant, giant cover-up. 60 years ago, they could have done what China did and built huge cities inland, the so-called ghost cities. They could be doing what the Russians are in a hurry to accomplish right this minute. They've got trillions of dollars into mining and excavating out the Ural Mountains right now. You can look this stuff up online, the ghost cities of China, the Russian bases in the Ural Mountains. They're in a scramble because if you look at a 700-foot final sea level, you'll see that all of Russia is going to be underwater. There's nothing left to it. You can forget Russia as a nation. You can forget it as a threat. All the things that we've been worried about up to this time is not going to be happening. Something new is going to be happening. What the new thing is, after pole shift, we're going to have open contact with extraterrestrials. So get used to it.
Okay. Now, pole shift and the calamities that are coming and these boxes are all linked to Planet X.
Yes.
Okay. You said that we can go out there and photograph it, we can see it, and you explained how. And you said the Zetas had said that they move the Earth so that it's in a position where we can see Planet X.
They're putting a lot of pressure on all the powers that be, saying, your lies are over. Listen.
Okay, well, hang on just a second. Let me finish this thought here. Last night, we had a caller who called in, I think she was from British Columbia, and she asked, I had James Horak on with me last night, and we were talking about all of this, and she asked, have you noticed that the stars don't seem to be in the right place? And he said, yes. And they discussed it for a while, and she talked about that. And she said, look, I'm an astrologer. I pay attention to the stars, and they're not in the right place. And I've heard other people say this. Now,
can I explain where they go to and why, and where what they should be, and why it's happening, and it's in a regular repeating pattern daily, every single day?
I don't understand what you just said.
Well, the Earth is in a wobble because Planet X is 30 million miles from the Earth, with its North Pole and South Pole laying horizontally. In other words, if you could stand up above the solar system and look at all the planets and the sun, you would see their North Poles point upward, vertically.
Okay, all right.
And they all the planets go around the sun, seen from above, counterclockwise. Planet X came into the solar system going clockwise. Now, gravity pushes, I've said that on your shows before. If nobody's ever heard me before, that's an excellent show to look up on the archives. But anyway, as Planet X came in, it had it entered the orbit of Venus and the Earth, and they both stopped moving forward. So since 2003, Planet X has been trying to get past the Earth and Venus, and the Earth and Venus won't allow Planet X to go by because they want to go by Planet X. So they're in this dance, and if you've ever tried to corner a dog in the corner of a building, and the dog darts to the left, you dart to the left, and the dog darts to the right, you dart to the right, and you still haven't caught the dog. Well, that's the kind of dance that I'm referring to. It's between the dark twin of Earth, which is the planet the same size as the Earth that was always on the far side of the sun that nobody has ever mentioned except the Zetas. No one has ever mentioned except the Zetas. And clearly, with all of our satellites, NASA must have known about this the first time they got up there and go, oh my God, what's this planet doing on the far side of the sun that's the same size as Earth? And you've got to realize that Venus is like 95% the same size as Earth. So you've got three planets. You've got the dark twin of Earth, which is the same size as Earth. You've got the Earth, and you've got Venus. And they're all trying to get around the sun going counterclockwise, and Planet X can't go. So it's just slowly, slowly getting a little closer. But it isn't trying to get close to hit us. It's trying to get close to go by us. And so it's laying on its side, because that's how it came in, with its north pole horizontally pointed at the Earth. Well, as you know, from elementary school playing with magnets, two north poles repel each other. So, as Planet X approaches, it drives, and don't forget, it's below the sun. So you can't see it in front of the sun, but it's in line with the sun. So if you point your finger at the sun and then move your finger down, that's where Planet X is. So it drives the north pole of Earth away from the sun because, after all, it's repelling the north pole of Earth. It's got 23 times the magnetic field of Earth, and so therefore it's very easy for it to push the north pole of Earth back. But in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean is something called the Great Atlantic Rift, and that's a huge, huge, unimaginable upwelling of iron-rich magma, which has cooled and created this Atlantic ridge that goes all the way down. And in the middle of the ridge, from Iceland all the way to Antarctica, is a huge split in the Earth where more keeps coming up, and that's what's called the Great Atlantic Rift. Well, that's the same as gluing an iron bar to the surface of the Earth. So, as the Earth turns, and the Atlantic Ocean, the Eastern Atlantic, Africa, and Europe, start to get the light of the dawn, and the North Pole is being pushed away from Planet X, as the Atlantic Ocean gets sunrise and gets the light of the sun at midday over the Atlantic Ocean, this huge bar of iron pulls the Earth back the other way so that the North Pole is even closer to the sun. And then as the Earth turns and the sun starts to go to the Western Atlantic and Eastern United States, Eastern Canada, Eastern South America, then Planet X can't get a grip on this iron bar anymore that's under the Atlantic Ocean. And so the North Pole goes backwards. So to give you an idea of how this works, and everybody who's listening now is probably facing their computer screen. So let's say that your computer screen is the sun, and you're standing up facing your computer screen, and you lean to the left, then you lean backwards, then you lean to the right, and as you come around leaning forward again, then you lean where your head goes closer to the screen, and then as you go to the left again, you go further from the screen until you're leaning backwards. The Earth is doing this every single day. So what happens is, in those hours where the sun first rises over the Eastern Atlantic, all of a sudden the North Pole is getting pulled towards the sun. And that's when the slippage occurs. And I've seen it myself. I've gone outside and I've seen the star Sirius and the constellation Orion rise in the northeast. And then as I'm watching it, instead of rising further, it slips all the way to the southeast. It's like, you know, the average person isn't aware of where things should be, so they aren't aware of when things change. So, you know, the government and the world leaders have succeeded in dumbing down the average person who relies on the media to tell them what's happening, and the media isn't telling them. So for some of you, this is news, but to me, it isn't news at all. I've seen all kinds of things. I had the sun rise half an hour early in June of 2010, and people have seen the moon do all kinds of things. They've seen the sunrise and sunset in places where it shouldn't be at that time of year. The earth is wobbling. Excuse me. And this accounts for all the strange weather, because the jet stream normally goes west to east in the northern hemisphere and east to west in the southern hemisphere. But with the earth wobbling, the air stays in place, but the earth is rotating underneath it. So what that does is create these huge north-south loops in the jet stream that have never been seen before. So once again, you have like the Weather Channel. I just heard it today. Global warming. That's a lie. That has nothing to do with it. There are pictures of star trails taken recently where somebody opens up the lens on a film camera, points it at the North Pole, and lets it go the whole night, and then they shutter the lens and develop the film, and you should have perfect concentric circles around the North Star. But instead you get huge egg-shaped ovals. I mean, it's just unbelievable, Kevin. And I'm sure that there are a few listeners who are aware of what I'm saying. And you're not crazy, and you're the really ones who are awake. You're the ones who are noticing it, and thank you.
Well, I've seen those pictures you're talking about. In fact, I've got some of them that I got off of the internet, and you're right. You can look at older pictures that were done that way, and it's a perfect circles, and now it's big egg-shaped loops. And you're right. That might be, in fact, what accounts for the strange winter we've just had.
Oh, absolutely. And I can point out to you, on either side, if you take a line down the center of the Atlantic Ocean, the weather is the same at the same distance away. In other words, you've had inordinate amounts of rain and snow in Texas and New Mexico at the same time that you had it in Eastern Europe, and it's because they're equidistant from the center of the Atlantic Ocean. It just repeats every single day.
All right, we're going to have to step away for a break here, and when we come back, I want to open up the telephone lines. Gordon, are you up to taking some calls from the audience?
Oh, I'd love to.
Okay. Folks, I told you that you were going to hear things tonight that are controversial. And some of you buy what Gordon is saying, and some of you don't. I hope all of you buy the idea that you have the freedom to ask questions and to express your views here on The Kevin Smith Show. We'll open the telephone lines when we come back. Don't go away.
America, and you're listening to The Kevin Smith Show, like no other talk radio on earth.
All right, welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Gordon Giannotto, and we're going to open up the telephone lines now. You may have some questions or comments, and we'd like for you to have the opportunity to get in on all of this. The telephone number is 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. And if you are not in the USA and you're not in Canada, you can either call that number or you can use our flash message option that you'll find on my website. All right, Gordon, you ready to take some phone calls?
I certainly am.
All right, caller, you're live on The Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
Hi. Hi, Mr. Giannotto.
Hi, Jerome. Every time I'm on the show, you call. I like that.
I always like talking with you. The last time I talked with you, you encouraged me to go on the Zeta Talk website. And I did, and I subscribed to her newsletter. And I find it very interesting. I don't understand how you said that this is a karmic event happening, and the ETs don't take this lightly for their involvement.
Yes, I did say that.
And
yes.
Why are the ETs helping the government out? I'm going to call them the evil ETs.
Well, it's Jerome, that's a great question, and I'll tell you why. It's the same up there as it is down here. There's the good, the bad, and the ugly. And the people who contacted the extraterrestrials in the first place was the U.S. government, and the ones that wanted to contact them were the selfish ones, and the government always intended to keep it covered up and to never disclose, and so they did all kinds of things with the selfish ETs, hoping that in return for things that they allowed those particular bad ETs to do, in return for that, they would get technology, which I guess surmise that they never really got anything like they hoped for. They might have gotten some very interesting things, but they didn't get what they hoped for. So, but supposedly they did such horrible things that if they were to start disclosing them, it'd be like an awful horror movie. You'd say, turn it off, I don't want to hear anymore. So, they're not of much help to the selfish government now. And the selfish government is realizing that. And these leaders that thought that they would be taken to the moon or Mars and then they would come back as kings of the earth have, and Zeta Talk talks a lot about this, they've all been lied to, and they're realizing, good God, we're going to have to roll up our sleeves and start gardening like everybody else. Well, we're never going to want to do that. So this is like a cold chill going up their backs now, realizing that this is going to be the great equalizer. Right now, possessions and wealth and power separate a certain group of people from everybody else. But this is going to be ended. It's going to be swept away, and never again will possessions be a barrier between being nice and empathetic. And it isn't that selfish people don't have empathy, it's that they've turned it off. They've shut it off. And they're pretending, in order to lift themselves up, to say, well, I deserve to be first online. The same way the Rothschilds want to be the first to know when pole shift is. And I'm sure the Zetas know exactly when pole shift is. So they're not going to change that. But what they can do is encourage the unselfish people to work together to save as many as possible, first of all from the cataclysms, and second of all from the starvation and the disease that's going to happen afterwards. Because you're going to realize the day this gets announced, honestly, I mean, just imagine, Jerome, that you were the president and you wanted to announce this. Can you imagine what would happen the day that you went on the air to say, yes, this is true? I mean, you know, we all know people that would go down to the food store with a truck and empty it out into their truck and drive off and wouldn't share it with anybody. And that's being nice. There are other people that would just start shooting, raping, looting. I mean, there's going to be chaos. Pilots aren't going to show up for work. Cops aren't going to be going on duty. Workers at hospitals aren't going to be showing up. Instead, everybody's going to be running for the hills with their families. So this is not an easy decision. Had we built cities, you know, people say Kansas and Nebraska are virtually emptied out because the family farm has disappeared. You've got these huge agricultural combines that own the whole state, both states, you know. And except for the cities, you can drive for hours in the Midwest and not see a town with people in it anymore. And so there's lots of places where people could move to. But has anybody made preparation for that? Not a single person. If they have made any preparation, they've put it all in underground bunkers in Denver and Kokomo, Indiana, and they have no intentions to help you. So that's why I'm speaking out, is because this is a situation where you've got to help your family, your neighbors, even if they're skeptical now. you know, go to a safe place, move yourself there, and then tell them where you are. And when they find out what's about to happen, they can all join you. But, you know, this is not to be religious, but in the Bible it says, in the book of Revelation, it says there were two in the field and one disappears. There were two in the kitchen and one disappears. Well, some people have interpreted that the extraterrestrials would rescue certain unselfish people and leave the selfish people behind to go through the tribulation. But the reality is, if you're the one, if two people have a problem and one of them has the answer, the person that has the answer has the responsibility. So I hope, Jerome, that if I've been convincing to you at all, that you've talked to your family and your spouse and said, you know, what if this guy's right?
Well, I've taken some preparations, and I've talked to my family, but you know, it's really hard. But your advice is well taken. One other thing I didn't understand, when Nancy Leader had this meeting with the Rothschilds, did the Zetas take her there, or was it the Rothschilds that basically abducted her?
No, the Zetas took her there. Yeah, they took her there, and they didn't fly. They just, it was like she's in her house in her nightgown, and instantly she's in her nightgown in the Rothschilds' office, standing in front of the puppet master.
In your opinion, are the Rothschilds reptilians?
No. But, you know, you raise another interesting point. You always have really interesting points, Jerome.
Thank you.
So, some of the most selfish people anywhere in the universe are Earth humans walking around on the Earth right now. Did you see that Wyoming, that Dick Cheney convinced the Wyoming legislature to buy an aircraft carrier? They introduced a bill that Wyoming, now, I don't know, I watch jaywalking on Jay Leno a lot on TV, and I realize people don't understand geography at all. But if you have any idea of where Wyoming is, can you picture them with an aircraft carrier? Where would they put it? What would they do with it?
How would they get it there?
Exactly. But you see, some of the legislatures obviously are aware that there's going to be pole shift. And when the Mississippi goes to being 200 miles wide, salt water, all the way up to the Great Lakes, which become salt water, and the Missouri River floods all the way to Wyoming, then it makes sense. They would just drive their aircraft carrier from wherever they would moor it beforehand up the Missouri River, and Wyoming would have an aircraft carrier. I have no idea what they would do with it then. Do they plan to invade Colorado? Are they going to attack Montana? I mean, really. So, but the thing is last week, Wyoming legislature almost passed an authorization bill to buy a used aircraft carrier. So you tell me why they would want one.
Well, I understand what you're saying, and I'll get off the phone and let other callers call in. And I really appreciate Kevin taking my call, and I always enjoy talking to you, Gordon Giannotti Noto.
Well, that Gianni Noto, it's simpler than it sounds. But thanks, Jerome. You're doing a great job of paying attention.
All right, Jerome, thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Mike from Kentucky, Kevin.
Hello, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Question for Mr. Gordon G. Am I a selfish person? How will I know if I'm a selfish person or an unselfish person? Because I understand that even unselfish people can be selfish from time to time.
Yes. Well, the thing is when I say unselfish, I mean that more than not, you think of the other person first. And it doesn't mean that you have to be a Mother Teresa type of saint. It means that 51% of the time, that you care about other people before yourself. So if cake is served, you have to get the first slice. That's not a good sign. If you get the biggest slice and you give it to the person that is least likely to be able to get it for themselves, that's a good sign. So there are no hard rules here, and this is a soul level decision to to orient all your behavior about around caring for other people or not. So there aren't any rules. It's not easy. And listen, everyone on earth is going to be put to the same test, because what if you're sitting there trying to help your family and a whole bunch of, let's say 15 people come up to your house with guns and want to take all your food? You know, how do you react to that? Do you kill them? What do you do? So these are tough times that are going to be coming up, and we're all going to have to face individual choices. But as long as you care about other people more often than not, that's it.
I think I would probably let them come in the house, and then when they all came in the house was getting all my food, I'd go outside and throw a Molotov cocktail in, lock them in, and let them go with it.
Well, you know, I don't know that I can comment on that, really. I mean, the thing is I may be in the same situation. Kevin may be in the same situation. There are no easy answers. This is like a final exam for your soul. And I don't know how to tell you what to do in any one situation. So, this really is going to be, people are going to have to be paying attention, because, and I've been saying a lot, if you only live 5 more minutes, try and make sure that 5 minutes is spent helping somebody else.
Well, I was only joking about throwing that. I would never do that.
Well, I know Michael, and I know what he was doing with that, but I don't believe he would either. But still, that doesn't mean that any of the things we're going to see happening in front of us are going to be easy, and the things that are going to be happening to us, and whether we're on the go or people are on the go to where we are. Let's say that you had $1 million and you went up in the mountains and you bought yourself a nice ranch and you were ready to survive. Who's to say that, 5,000 people aren't going to come and want to take it from you? I had a guy in Australia talking to me, and he said, I've planned everything. I've got solar panels. I've got 12-volt dishwasher, 12-volt TVs. I've got everything in the house is 12-volt, and I've got banks of batteries, and I'm all set. And I said, where do you live? And he goes, he said he lived in Brisbane. I said, well, that's great, but the thing is, what are you going to do with the 50,000 people that are going to see your house as the only house with electricity in the city of Brisbane, and they're going to be in your yard? What are you going to do then?
All right, thanks. And Kevin, I sent you a message on your contact about that DVD I'm making.
All right. I appreciate it, Mike. We have to step away for break, and we'll be back right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest, Gordon Gianinotto. And we have a call on hold, Gordon. So if you don't mind, we'll just go straight to the telephone.
Oh, that'd be great.
All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, this is John from Mesa, Arizona.
Hello, John.
Hey, I just had a thought.
Did it hurt?
You were in a quandary about why the aircraft carrier in Kansas, and if you had the Mississippi River 200 miles wide,
we have Wyoming.
Would have the whole reason for having the aircraft carrier is it's a self-contained city with water purification, hospitalization, machine shops, electrical power for 25 years.
Oh, well, I understand that, but also you have to realize that the same people that were trying to start a martial law and have the empire start a little early were George Bush and Dick Cheney, and Wyoming is Dick Cheney's home state, so that's why. And I'm sure that that would be his castle. So yes, you're right.
Right, and you know, that's, it's not the only ship out there that's nuclear powered. And, you know, if we're basically survival mode, any of the ships that survive, and if it's a general tsunami like you say, any of them that are out to sea will be, you know, fairly safe because it'll move right under them.
Exactly. It's hard to say who would survive what in any one particular spot, but evidently what happens is as the Earth spins now, all the water goes towards the equator. Now, you don't realize that because as you travel in a ship up and down the coastlines, the water always seems like where it should be, but you don't realize that because the Earth is spinning, that with the centrifugal force, the water accumulates around the equator. So what's gonna happen in the week before pole shift is Planet X is gonna come close enough that as the as the Earth turns and the Atlantic Rift faces Planet X, Planet X is gonna grab the Atlantic Rift, and that's the moment where the crust will come free of the core. So for a week, there's some people talk about 3 days of darkness, but actually it'll be a week. But where I live on the coast of Maine, it's gonna be twilight because the sun will be over the middle of the Atlantic, but somebody that's on the west coast, it will be darker, and somebody that's in Hawaii, it will be pitch black for a week. And the noise from that, from the crust detaching from the core, is just going to be unbelievable. So when the crust stops spinning, all the water that's at the equators is going to head back to the poles. So, and that will take, that'll create by itself some sloshing. You might have just from that, and this is the week before pole shift, you may have 100-foot high water in the northern and southern latitudes like Patagonia or Greenland or Prince Edward Island, Newfoundland. The water may come up 100 or more feet because the water is going back from the equator where it was. But then what happens is the North Pole of Planet X grabs the crust. Now, the crust at that point is free of the core. So it's going to grab it in the middle of the Atlantic, and Planet X is below the sun, so it's going to come from below and it's going to go above the Earth. So it's going to grab the crust and slide it up over the North Pole of the core and then let go of it. And when it lets go, the new North Pole is going to be the eastern tip of Brazil. So at that point, Planet X will be out of here, and the crust will reattach itself to the core and start spinning again. So now you have a situation where the water that's gone back to the old poles is now going to go to the new equator. So it's hard to say what ship is going to survive that, but it's not likely to be a big tidal wave like people have always thought. Well, a mile-high tsunami. But yet, if you're in a fjord in Norway, you know, or a fjord in New Zealand, the water might come in 600 feet, but when it reaches the end of the fjord, it might climb up 1,000 or 2,000 feet. So you have to really look at the terrain. The Zetas have said that Texas, where it's going to come in at 600 feet, it's all going to be funneled by a line of ridges until it gets up to 875 feet, there's a gap in those ridges. There's an east-west ridge to the right and an east-west ridge to the left. When it reaches those ridges, and I'm not from Texas, so I can't tell you where they are, but there's a gap, and when it goes through that gap, it's going to be higher than 600 feet. It's going to reach 875. So you're right. You know, some ships are going to survive, but this is just more Dick Cheney thinking of Dick Cheney. And he almost got the whole legislature to give him an aircraft carrier. So you got to admire the guy. He's really got some, you know what?
Yeah, he's a finagler. Yeah, that's putting it politely. I can think of some other words I would call him, but
yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. When I say some of those most selfish people are here in the universe or here on Earth, I'm including him as one in the pack.
All right, John, you have another question or comment?
It won't do him any good.
John, you have another question or comment?
Yeah, I was just going to say an aircraft carrier won't do him any good unless he's got a crew of people to work it, because he's not smart enough to do it.
Well, that's another thing, and the Zetas have spoken about that. You know, there's some, you've heard that Google and some other large internet companies have created these huge, huge server buildings in North Carolina, because in the mountains in the western North Carolina, because they know that will survive pole shift, and they're thinking, well, you know, it's just going to be a few earthquakes and then things will go back to normal. But right in that area, there are billionaires who have actually established private armies. And just like in a feudal system, you have the king and you have all the lords and then you have the peasants. So bureaucrats think of themselves as lords, and they're thinking, you know, I'm sure there's some people that work for various government bureaucracies listening to this show, and really they're thinking, well, I'll always be taken care of, you know. If the economy collapses, I won't have a 401k, but the government's still going to give me health care. Well, I got news for you. No, they're not. And these people that are in these private armies or in a martial law military, they're going to go, wow, the whole world fell apart. Why am I a minion of some dictator? And they're going to leave. And some of them that are really selfish are going to turn around and shoot their leaders and say, well, now I'm going to be the leader. So it isn't good for them, no matter how you look at it.
All right, 623-444-5889 is the number. And we are going to go into after hours. We have some flash messages we need to get to. And so those of you who sent us flash messages, hang in there. We're going to get to those. Caller, can you hang on for just one moment?
Yep.
All right, you hang in there. We will be going into after hours, and I need to explain to everybody how this works. Because we have affiliate radio stations around the world, we will close this show out just as we normally do, and you'll hear the show close. We'll be closed, dark, if you will, for a few seconds, and then we will come back up, and we will begin with after hours. If the affiliate that you are listening to carries after hours, you will hear that start. And we're going to continue taking telephone calls and flash messages. And Gordon is going to stay here with us, and we'll keep talking about the things we're talking about. We have a flash message that came from the United States and was deleted. The system does not take flash messages from the United States. You have to use a telephone for that. We have a flash message here from Spardella Giulio in Belgium. And he says, I guess they did the same things as well to other planets. Thank you, Zeta. Well, all right, hang in there, caller. We'll get you when we come into after hours. Gordon, hang on. And ladies and gentlemen, for the regular portion of our show, we are saying goodnight. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you may call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.